This is podcast number 89 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we're talking about building perseverance in our children. How to teach children perseverance through stories. A friend of mine divides the human race into three groups: those who do not work at all, those who work until they are tired, and those who work until they finish. She says, furthermore, that the great people of the world have invariably belonged to the third group. They have in every instance been persons who have finished, or in other words, persevered to the end. Every parent, teacher, or friend of children wishes those children to be of the group that finishes. They can qualify the children with whom they are concerned for that group only by constant, persistent, one might almost say persevering, exercise of the will. Perseverance is like an athletic feat, impossible excepting as the result of long and careful training and regular and frequent exercise. Flabby muscles cannot win athletic victories, neither can a flabby will attain triumphs of perseverance. And in neither case does the fine hardness and strength needed come otherwise than as the result of a training that, beginning with light exercise, gradually goes on to heavier and heavier exercises until the desired condition of body or of will has been obtained. Then all that is needed further is to keep in this good condition. Bearing this in mind, when the first training of the will is given to children, parents and teachers will begin lightly and will do only a little at a time. The child's will, like his body, is not only soft but rapidly growing. It should be trained with the greatest care. How can this best be done? One of the surest, as well as one of the safest ways, is through the use of stories and the personages of stories known to children and within the range of their sympathetic understanding. Among the noblest stories showing the quality of perseverance are the classic myths. Following their heroes and heroines will help the children to develop perseverance better, perhaps, than any other possible exercise. Through these stories, their wills will grow unconsciously and normally, as their bodies grow unconsciously and normally through healthy, happy play, the best of exercises for childish bodies. One of the first forms of perseverance to be developed in children is that perseverance which will keep at a task until it is finished, though distractions of one kind or another obtrude themselves. When an errand is to be done, for instance, the child must be trained to do it without loitering or turning back. We all know how many temptations to loitering children meet when doing errands. The boy will come upon other boys engaged in play. The girl will meet other girls occupied in various pleasant ways. Not only natural inclination, but urgent invitation is usually extended to the boy or girl to stop, for a little while anyway, and let the errand wait. School teachers soon learn to know which of the children under their care can be trusted not to do this, but to persevere when sent on an errand. Scarcely a parent but finds it necessary to help a boy or a girl to resist successfully the temptation to loiter. Some parents even have recourse to punishment in order to establish the habit of perseverance in this matter. There are several stories, not all of them classic myths, that teach the needed lesson. But the story that would seem to teach it best is a classic myth, Atalanta's race. I once saw a striking example of this. A friend of mine, the mother of a most easily lured little girl of 8, happened one evening to tell her this story during the regular evening story hour, as a story simply, not in order to teach a lesson. Indeed, she had become rather discouraged with respect to teaching perseverance and doing an errand to this little girl through a story, for the reason that she had tried it, using the story of the hare and the tortoise, without the slightest particle of success. The next day, after the telling of the story, however, when sending the little girl on an errand and adjuring her to go and return without loitering, she said, smilingly, "Think of Atalanta. If she hadn't stopped on the way when running the race, She might have won it. The little girl returned promptly from doing the errand. Her mother, surprised and pleased and curious, also said to her, "You came back so quickly. I know you thought of Atalanta." "Yes," said the child, "I did." "Why did thinking about her help more than thinking about the hare in The Hare and the Tortoise?" the mother could not resist inquiring. "She was a little girl, too, like I am," the child explained, "not an animal different from me." That mother later used the same story with her dilatory boy, laying the stress on the triumph of Hippomenes, a boy like himself. Both children gradually overcame their habit of loitering. At present, even a fire engine will not tempt the boy to linger when doing an errand, nor a new family of kittens, the girl. There is another element in the doing of errands that occasionally arises to test the strength of a child's perseverance. This is the danger, real or imagined, of disagreeableness met before the end of the errand is reached. A child visiting, or for the first time living in the country, and timid in regard to cows, will, when doing an errand necessitating the crossing of a pasture in which cows are at large, be tempted to turn back. Few of us have not met with this situation, either in our own experience or in that of our neighbors. Of even more importance is it to develop perseverance in such a situation as this than in the case of the temptation to loiter, for the reason that the question of courage or cowardice enters in. Clearly, in the mind of the child, there should be a hero or heroine who persevered in the face of danger. Jason is one of the best. So many perils, and these so dramatically alarming, were encountered by Jason as he went on the quest of the golden fleece. Every generation of children should have for a friend this hero. It would not, I must admit, have suggested itself to me to use the story of the golden fleece in order to induce a child to persevere in connection with an errand, when that errand took the child past cows. But I happened to see it done. I was spending a vacation at a farmhouse in which there were other city boarders, among them a mother and her little boy of 10, a delicate, nervous child at the time, as a result of a severe illness. The child was in the habit of doing errands at home, as most children are. To give him an objective point when out of doors, as well as to help him to be useful, his mother occasionally sent him on errands for our very busy hostess during that vacation. One day, the errand was to an adjoining farm which could be seen in the near distance. In order to avoid too long a walk for the boy, our hostess suggested that he cut across the pasture, a short distance down the road. The child set forth. Presently, he came running breathlessly back. "There are a lot of cows in the pasture," he cried. "They're perfectly harmless and gentle," our hostess said. "They won't pay the slightest attention to you." But the boy was not reassured. He did not wish to do the errand. Owing to his delicate condition, his mother did not insist, but she said very persuasively, "I should not expect it of a boy who cares so much about Jason to mind a few ordinary cows. Think of the fierce, brazen bulls. And Jason didn't have just to pass them. He had to harness them and plow with them. He did it. He had started out to get the golden fleece for King Peleus, and he wasn't a boy who would stop in the middle of an errand and come running home, though there were brazen bulls about." The boy considered for a moment, then off he ran. We saw him presently speeding across the pasture, when a little later he returned, bringing from the other farmhouse the ears of sweet corn for which he had gone. He said as he gave them to our hostess, "Here is your golden fleece." Another kind of perseverance is greatly necessary to the best daily living. It is that which keeps us to routine, to the doing day after day, again and again, the same thing at the same time, perhaps in the same way. Psychologists tell us that this habit can occur only as the result of unremitting exercise of the will. They say further that it is of the very greatest importance, having once decided to do a certain thing at a certain time, day by day, not even once to fail to do it. One failure, so they tell us, is like one dropped stitch in a piece of knitting. It causes the whole habit, as the dropped stitch causes the whole piece of knitting to come entirely apart. Few things are so difficult to do as to establish children and to help them to establish themselves in a routine. Need I do it this time? May I not do it just this once? We are all familiar with this plea from children, but we should help them by answering in the negative, not only for the sake of the present moment, but because of the future. For, important as perseverance and routine is to the child, it is even more important to the man or woman. How shall we help the children to attain it? With what story are we most likely to help them, not only to understand, but to strive for this kind of perseverance? There is, perhaps, no better tale than the Minotaur, a story of having the advantage of being intensely interesting to both boys and girls, and interesting to them at various stages of development. Young as well as older children will be quick to understand that Theseus would never have been able to finally lift the stone that covered the sandals and the sword, precious gifts of his father, had he not begun as a very small boy, not semi-occasionally, but daily, and toiled amain, tugging and pushing at the great rock. From the time he was a little boy until he was a young man, Theseus persevered in his daily efforts to lift the stone. He at last succeeded and obtained his reward. Every child will grasp the significance of this, and every child will understand further that, had Theseus not gained the sword and the sandals, he would have been unable to thwart the wicked designs of Medea. Every child will see still further that without the strength obtained through the daily exercise in wrestling with the big stone, Theseus could scarcely have overcome the Minotaur. Indeed, there is scarcely to be found in the storybook world a tale better calculated than the Minotaur to teach perseverance in routine, for the story exemplifies so fully, so clearly, and withal so enchantingly, the bright rewards of such rather dull dutifulness. A teacher of long and varied experience in the successful teaching of children of different ages once said that, to her mind, the most important thing a child could possibly learn was to complete one task before beginning another. In her opinion, the self-discipline involved was greater than that required for any other act. Children, as most of us know, are inclined to belong to the group that works until tired. Our effort must therefore be to help them qualify for membership in the group of those who work until they finish. Naturally, every care should be taken that each particular task is within the child's strength, both mental and physical, in order that there be no possibility of overfatigue. Providing carefully against this, parents and teachers and friends of children should help them to that excellent perseverance which finishes. There are many ways in which to do this. With some of the older children, praise of the progress already made will suffice to stimulate the child, even if a bit tired and tempted to stop, to reconsider and to continue to the end. With many of the smaller children, suggestion in the form of an encouraging "a little more" or "a little more still" at a certain stage will accomplish the desired result. But with many children, more than this is needed. There must be an appeal to the imagination. We can make that appeal best with the aid of a story. There are a number of such stories, in fable, in folklore, and indeed in many a department of classic literature. Of all such stories likely to be familiar to every child, there is none so compelling as Balder and the Mistletoe. Children love Balder, the bright-faced, golden-haired sun god, as they love few others of the heroes of the old world, and the story of his untimely and woeful death is full of poignant appeal to them. Involuntarily, a child upon first hearing the story of Balder will exclaim, "Oh, if only Queen Frigg had made everything promise not to hurt Balder, and not just everything except the mistletoe." I have known more than one child who was helped through this story to persevere more completely than did Queen Frigg. Only the other day, I chanced to be calling upon a friend. We were sitting in the nursery with her two children, a boy of 6 and a little girl of 2. As the children played, my friend, her work basket on the floor beside her, sewed. Presently, one of the little boy's small playmates called from the lawn outside that an organ man with the monkey was coming. The little boy rushed to the door, upsetting the work basket in his haste. He is a well-trained child, and he hastily returned and even more hastily began to pick up the scattered spools, buttons, and so forth. The small playmate called again, and glancing about and seeing that very few articles were still left on the floor, the little boy again made a rush for the door. "Pick up everything before you go," his mother said. "I have almost everything," the little boy replied. "Yes, almost," the mother said, "but we want quite everything picked up. Baby's sister is so little, if a button or a pin or even a hook or an eye is left, she might put it in her mouth. That wouldn't do at all, would it?" Again there was a call from outside with regard to the organ man and the monkey, but the little boy returned to the task of picking up everything that had fallen from the basket, smiling a little as he worked. "What are you thinking about?" I asked him, impelled by that little smile. The child looked up. "About Balder," he said. "If the mistletoe hadn't been left to hurt him, he would have been all right. I don't want to leave anything to be like the mistletoe to baby sister." Not only little children, but older boys and girls as well will find the story of Balder a help in holding themselves to a task until it is finished. A teacher of my acquaintance, aware of the importance to children of civic service, organized an association of boys and girls, pledged to remove from the sidewalks any bits of orange peel or other fruit skins found thereon as they walked to and from school. Easily the children did this for the first block or two. After that, they were apt to relax their efforts. It was explained to them frequently that if only one bit of orange peel or banana peel were left, the object of the organization was being defeated. Even one small bit of peel was a menace to passers-by. "Resolve," the teacher said to the children several times, "to remove every bit." The children, of course, promised to try. Some of them succeeded, but the teacher wanted them all to succeed. One day, at storytelling time, she told them the story of Balder and the mistletoe. She was not at the moment thinking of her efforts to teach the children civic service. She was merely telling the story. From that day, however, she learned that the work of keeping the sidewalks free of fruit skins had been fully done by each and every child. Inquiries led to the fact that this was due to the lesson of the story. A bit of orange peel left on the sidewalk had come to have the look of the so evilly fateful twig of mistletoe left unpledged on the oak tree of Asgard. It is of great moment to the children, this whole matter of perseverance. It is necessary not only to future achievement, but to present happiness and health, for it is nothing less than the process of developing, by right exercise, the will. The man or woman of power is the child, grown up, of rightly developed will. We must help the children toward perseverance, as we help them toward physical strength, by happy as well as regular exercise. The classic myths, those stories of great heroes and heroines, are among the best of the means we may use to this good end.